Good morning, Celeste Headley here. John Hockenberry is on assignment today, and in New York is busy for a number of reasons, but there are lots and lots of car people here because, of course, it's the week of the New York International Auto Show. However, if you are a car person, you kind of had to make a choice this week, whether you're going to go see cars in New York or in Shanghai. The Chinese Auto Show and the American Auto Show overlap this year, and they're competing for the spotlight. Joining us now, Paul Eisenstein, publisher of the DetroitBureau.com. You chose New York, obviously.
Well, I did. I like the food better here, among other things. And I sent somebody over to Shanghai to cover for me there. But it was a real challenge because Shanghai, believe it or not, may be the biggest car show of the year. It's certainly in terms
really?
Of the raw number of previews was over 100. I don't think I've ever seen one in my entire 30 years covering the business.
Well, explain what a preview is.
All right. Auto shows have, in a sense, two different events. Big shows like New York or Detroit or Shanghai have these media previews before they get open to the public. And it's where all the automakers bring out great new products. The Volkswagen Beetle, the new one that was one of the big stories this week, or the new Chevrolet Malibu, or the Scion FRS sports car and the like. And we get in a few days early. By the time the public is rolling through the turnstiles, we're gone. We're back wherever we are, driving cars or writing stories.
Right. All right. So the fact that there are so many previews at Shanghai, first of all, let's talk about the decision by the Chinese to run their auto show at the exact same week of New York. Was that, I mean, it had to have been intentional. It's not like they got the calendar screwed up.
No, it was because of two calendars. New York's auto show changes every year because it's right up to Easter. And Shanghai, Chinese auto shows also run, but on the Chinese schedule. And it just happened to work out that they both had the calendars that dropped them this week. It was a very big fluke. I think it's the only time it's happened in like 12 years.
Oh, that's not nearly as exciting as what I thought, which was like, we're going to compete with New York and one-up them.
Well, I think that they could have changed it if they really wanted to, and they went head-to-head. Now, they met recently, and they agreed that they won't do it again, but there is a big head-to-head. And even though they may have said, oh, gee, we're sorry, the fact was that they battled to get world previews, and there were some significant things that went to China rather than here. And then a few manufacturers decided, well, we'll compromise and we'll do them in both places, which was really a challenge.
Well, what exactly does that mean? I mean, we've been hearing a lot about the Chinese market, how much the automakers are focusing on selling cars in China. Mm-hmm. But what does this mean in terms of the Chinese manufacturers?
Well, the Chinese manufacturers made up a good portion of all the big events over there. There was something like 100 different electric vehicles.
Chinese electric vehicles,
but also some American and European electric products that were launched over there. I mean, what's important to understand here first is how big the Chinese market was. 18 million cars last year, bigger than the U.S. ever was at its peak. And that was a 32% growth over 2009, which grew, by the way, by 46%. And it's probably going to be well into the 20 million range this year. It's just booming. And it could hit 25, 35, 40 million in a few years. So no wonder makers who never brought new products over to Japan, I mean to China before, are racing to get there now. And it's about prestige. I mean, this is about the Chinese saying we're no longer just a country that makes cheap knockoff products or bad cars. We're producing world-class products, and makers like Mercedes and BMW, never mind Chevrolet, which launched one of the most important American cars in Shanghai. The Malibu was launched there. And only a couple days later did they repeat their launch in New York.
So who's winning in China? I mean, are the Chinese automakers really becoming top sellers there? Or is there a particular either U.S. or European automaker that's got the right strategy there?
This is one of those things that you give a coy answer and you say yes. The fact is that the foreign manufacturers are the dominant players there. But any foreign manufacturer that plays in China has to be part of a joint venture with a domestic company. General Motors and VW, in the strange bedfellow world of Chinese autos, partner with SAIC, Shanghai Automotive Industry Consortium, which has basically controlling interests or near controlling interests. And what a lot of people worry about is one of these days, you know, the Chinese, they're real good about respecting intellectual property rights, of course. And they have been taking what they're learning from the Western companies and starting to make their own cars. And people wonder one day, will they say, hey, you know what, GM? Leave. We can do a better job. And that's the big question. And certainly some of the independent Chinese companies like Geely are rising fast. And to put it in perspective, Geely, you know, this little secondary player, just bought Volvo, the Swedish car. So I did a tour yesterday of the auto show, and I asked about 35 people. I said, how many of you would buy a Chinese car? Nobody raised their hands. I said, how many of you would buy a Volvo? Everybody raised their hands. I said, then you'll buy a Chinese car.
But the Volvo isn't being made in China.
Not yet, but they're about to open two factories over there, and one of them is probably going to export.
The Chinese market will top out at some point, right? We don't actually know what the history of auto buying is, whether they would do what Americans did for quite some time, buy a new car every 2-3 years,
true,
right? At some point, we'll reach the peak.
Yeah. Most of them right now are first-time buyers. How long they'll hang on, we don't know. There's all sorts of laws that make it difficult on trade-ins and all that other stuff. But the fact is, they're buying them fast. And we've only seen the market explode along the coast. What happens when it moves inland? Tens of millions more are likely every year.
And do they have to like offer them the discounts and the special deals in order to make sales in China?
Not right now. The market's so booming, they don't have to offer very much. They say, how much money do you have in your pocket?
All right. So, Paul Eisenstein, give me a prediction. Next year, Shanghai, more important than Detroit Auto Show?
Next year, it will be Beijing. They alternate. I think next year, the Beijing show will probably be one of the biggest in the world, and it will be up there. In fact, here's the important thing. The Tokyo Motor Show is barely surviving. Beijing will replace that as one of the top five auto shows in the world for sure.
Paul Eisenstein, publisher of thedetroitbureau.com. What's the best car you saw at the auto show this year?
Oh, my God. No, it's so hard. Well, the Beetle. The Beetle's probably the one
Beetle.
Everybody's going to pay
attention
to.
Flattened out. All
absolutely.
Right. Paul Eisenstein, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.